First, I want to thank the prayers that were said in my behalf at the end of Sunday school and at the opening of this service, because without those prayers, I can assure you that I would fail. That the time that I would spend up here behind this desk this morning would do absolutely no good to anyone. Because when I add up and balance out my faults on one hand and my talents on the other, I find that I come up way short. So I do appreciate your prayers, and I would ask that each one of you, under the sound of my voice this morning, would, in your heart, say a little prayer that God would be with me this morning and that each one of us might be uplifted. When I was talking about these talents and these shortcomings, there's one shortcoming that I know that I have, and I wonder as I look out this morning if some of you might have that same type of shortcoming. Now, I've been accused, especially by those in my family who know me real well, that I will absolutely not do today what I put off till tomorrow. That's just the way I am. I can't help it. You know, my oldest son and I have an old truck sitting in our basement that we're trying to restore. But I think tomorrow I might get to it. I think tomorrow I'll be able to handle that job, but not today. And you know, even though that I'm sure that a lot of us have that problem, there's one area that we cannot afford to have that problem in. We cannot afford to put off those things that it takes for us to assure ourselves of salvation. We cannot afford to put off coming closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had a meeting last night in my home. I was very, very happy and honored that the young people met in my home last night, and we discussed a little bit about church history. But I was talking to some of them after the meeting and was really amazed how deep they think, how strong their feelings are towards the things of God. And you know, I was happy to really feel in my heart that they weren't putting off their soul salvation until tomorrow. And that's one of the things that happen to young people. They think they have a long time before they have to deal with the judgment. They think that they have a long time before they really have to set their minds to and their hands to the plow to follow after Jesus Christ. Because they're having a lot of fun. And they think that if they turn away from this and they go in the way that God wants them to do, that they might not have any fun anymore. I was talking to a young person a few weeks ago and he said to me, you know, how can I give up all the fun that I'm having now to become a good Christian? And I told him, you have a lot to learn, son, because you're going to find that when you finally make this step, when you finally decide that it's time for you to follow after Christ, you're going to find that joy and that fun that you have then overshadows what fun that you think you're having at this time. Well, that's the young people, but you know, we who are older have that same type of a problem. We feel that we might have to give up something or that we might have to make an effort that we really are not able to make at that time or feel we're not able to make. To do those things that will help assure us eternal life. But let me assure you this morning, each one of you here, whether you be a youngster, whether you be a middle age, or whether you have some years on you, you cannot afford to wait till tomorrow. You cannot afford to put off those things that you need to do to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Alma chapter 19 verse 84 says, "And thus we see that there was a time granted unto man to repent. Yea, a probationary time, a time to repent and to serve God." And that's the time that we have today. That's the time that you and I have. And are we going about our Father's business? Are we doing those things? Are we repenting from those sins that I'm sorry to say is within each one of us? Are we looking this morning deep within our hearts and our souls, reaching down and finding there those things that would offend our Heavenly Father? This is the time granted to you and I to do those things. To search out those things that we are weak in. To really balance out our talents and our shortcomings. And try to tip that scale on the side of righteousness. You know, if we waste this time that you and I have, and I know that it looks like that we have forever. I know when I was young, I thought, man, am I ever going to be 16-year-old? Am I ever going to get to be 21? And you know, I turned around and I'm 57. What happened between 16 and 57, I'll never know. I've lost it. And this is what happens to each one of us. And this wasted time between 16 and 57 can never be regained. These wasted opportunities that we have to serve God can never be had again. We only get one chance. Let's make the most of it. If we do waste it, we will hear the same words that the people of Samuel spoke to in the 5th chapter of Helaman. He said, "But behold, your days of probation are past. Ye have procrastinated the day of your salvation until it is everlastingly too late, and your destruction is made sure." Brothers and sisters, do we want to take the chance to hear those words spoken to us by our Heavenly Father? You waited too long. You had all kinds of opportunities. You seen this need back here when you were 30 and you lost it. You seen this opportunity that I gave you when you were 40. And you passed it by. I called on you and plucked at your heartstrings when you were 50, but you would not. Can we afford to let that happen to us? Can we afford to take a chance that maybe we will have one more opportunity? You know, we think we're wise. And we think we know. But I'd like to turn over to page 109 in the Book of Mormon. This is in the second book of Nephi, and it's in the sixth chapter. And I'm going to start with the 57th verse, and it reads, "Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one." Oh, yes, the devil has a cunning plan. That devil has a deception. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of man. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God. For they set it aside, supposing that they know of themselves. Wherefore their wisdom is foolish, and it profit them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsels of God. But woe unto the rich who are rich as in the things of the world. For because they are rich, they despise the poor, and they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore, their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. And woe unto the deaf that they will not hear, for they shall perish. And I hope that we're not the deaf. I hope we're not the rich. Woe unto the blind that they will not see, for they shall perish also. Woe unto the uncircumcised of heart, for a knowledge of their iniquities shall smite them at the last day. Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto the murderer who deliberately killeth, for he shall die. Woe unto them who commit whoredoms, for they shall be thrust down to hell. And woe unto those that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delighteth in them. And those idols aren't the little statues that set up on the window. Those idols are those things here in your heart that take first place in front of our Heavenly Father. Those are the idols that that cunning one uses. Those are the idols that will bring us down. And in fine, woe unto all those who die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold His face and remain in their sins. Oh, my beloved brethren, remember the awfulness in transgressing against that holy God, and also the awfulness of yielding to the enticing one of the cunning one. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. And that, brothers and sisters, is the reason, and I've said it many times, that we're here this morning. And that is to attain eternal life. Turning on back in the Book of Mormon to Ether on page 725. On verse 116. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day, for he shall be lifted up. Lifted up. To dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. We have to start preparing ourselves. We cannot wait any longer. We cannot afford to believe that we have any more time. The time is now, today, to start doing those things that pleases God. To start having more love within our lives for our fellow man. To start having more concern one for another. These are the things, when properly done and followed, will assure us of that eternal life, which we all hope and want. And blessed he that is found faithful unto me, to my name at the last day, for he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him. Let those words burn into your bosoms this morning. Let them be found in your minds. That we have to be prepared, and now is the time for us to make that preparation. It also says in Mosiah 11:24, nevertheless, whosoever putteth his trust in him, the same shall be lifted up at the last day. We need to put our trust in our Heavenly Father, not put our trust in man, not put our trust in science, in the doctors of today, although they do marvelous things and they help a lot of people. But our basic trust should be put in our Heavenly Father. For in Him only shall we find eternal life. What shall we do then? If we all agree here this morning that it is our time now to prepare, that we should be about our Father's business now, today, what shall we do? Let's go over to the Book of Mormon on page 429. And start at the 215th verse. And it reads, and behold, this is the whole meaning of the law. Every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God. Yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation to all those who shall believe on his name. Jesus Christ. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice and bringeth about means unto men that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice. And brothers and sisters, I've always said, and I've said it here and I'll say it again, I pray for mercy. As each one of you, I believe, should pray for mercy. Look at our lives. Look at the things we do. Are we pleasing our Heavenly Father? And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice and encircles them in the arms of safety. While he that exercises no faith unto repentance is exposed to the whole law of the demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that has faith unto repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. And we qualify for that plan of redemption. For we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away our sins. To give us an avenue to return unto Him. Because Christ died. Because Christ suffered. He gave us this chance that we have here today. This hour of probation. This time to prepare. This time to work. And because of this, we have to follow Him. Because of this, we have to obey Him. Because of this, we have to take His commandments, learn them, and do them. In the Book of Mormon, on page 220, starting at verse 20, it says, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God. We never should let that leave our mind. That He is a great God. He is a powerful God. He is a God that can supply us all our needs, our wants. All good things come from God. Everything that we are, everything that we hope to be, we have to thank God for. The greatness of God and your own nothingness and His goodness and long-suffering toward you unworthy creatures. And aren't we happy today that He is long-suffering? Aren't we happy that He gives us this chance to prove ourselves worthy for eternal life? And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken of by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, if you will do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. Turning over to the Bible now, I'd like to read out of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Starting with the 16th verse, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't hide your good works, it says. Let your light shine. Show the world by your actions, by your deeds, by your daily lives that you are truly followers of Jesus Christ. This is the thing that you need to do. Follow Christ. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And that's our desire, to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So we need to teach the commandments of God. We need to know those things that are written in the Bible in the Book of Mormon. We need to know what God requires of us so that we can please Him by so doing. And by so doing, we help ourselves attain our goal, which is eternal life. Yeah, we must not put off being righteous. We must not put off being holy. We must not put off obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Luke it says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And that's a fair question, isn't it? Why do we, as members of the Church of Christ, profess believers in Jesus Christ, professing to know those things that we're supposed to do, then why do we not do them? That's a mystery, isn't it? If we know better, and we know the rewards of doing better, and we know the condemnation of not doing those things, then why do we do just the opposite? why do we not obey our Heavenly Father and His commandments? This is the thing that each one of us needs to look down within ourselves, answer that question, and start obeying today. For I can assure you that our time is running out. Time is running short. The culmination of all things is coming to an end. And we need to be prepared. And we need to listen to those who stand behind this desk and tell us that these things are coming to an end. And we need to believe when we read the Bible and the Book of Mormon that these things are coming to pass. We have to make an effort to be here at the call meetings to hear those words of the Lord. Because I can assure you that we cannot do it on our own. We need the strength of each other. We need the encouragement of each other. We need the love that each one of us has to offer to the other, to give us the strength and the courage to pull ourselves up and to start obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, when I fall, when I slip, don't kick me. Don't step on me. Reach your hand out and help me up. Because I need you. And there are others out there the same way that I am. They need you. They need your love. They need your concern. They need your help. For there are those who might not be as strong as we. There are those that might not be as well founded as we, or as well learned as we, or have the faith that we have. But it is our duty, our responsibility, yea, our commandment, to reach out to those to encourage, to help, to strengthen, to give faith. In Romans, in the 10th chapter, starting at the 13th verse, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And it's when it's talking about a preacher, it's not only talking about me. It's talking about each one of you who have an opportunity to tell your friends, your neighbors, your acquaintances of this lovely thing that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So by the word of God, strengthen those who are weak, and encourage those who become discouraged. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's only asking for our reasonable service. We need to present our lives unto him. Dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ. The Bible in 1 Corinthians says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" But we still have lots of time, right? We still have a lot of time for you and I to become that righteous people that can inherit the kingdom of God. If we believe that we have lots of time, then let's go on the way we're going. But if we truly believe that the time is short, and we truly believe that we don't know whether we'll be here tomorrow or not, then we best be about our Father's business today, this hour, when we walk out that door. In 1 Corinthians, starting at the 10th chapter, I'm going to read just a little bit of this. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." That's the rock. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for as samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And this 12th verse is the one that I want you to remember. I want you to take nothing else with you out of this sermon today. Remember this verse. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We who are members of the Church of Christ believe, and rightly so, that we stand, that we have an inroad with our Heavenly Father. But there is a danger there also, that we become overconfident, that we drop our guard, that we quit being as enthusiastic. That we become complacent. And then we are ready for that fall. So remember this morning. In 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, starting with the 11th verse, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" What type of a person should we be to please our Heavenly Father? "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God." We should be looking for that time with happiness, with anticipation. "Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." This is the type of person that you and I need to be to please our Heavenly Father and assure ourselves that spot in eternal life. Blameless. You know, we don't have much time really to think about this. It's a possibility that we might not survive the day. It's a bigger possibility we might not survive the coming week or the coming year. We never know. So consequently, it behooves each one of us to so regulate our lives that we are ready in an instant to meet our Heavenly Father. Ready in an instant to stand before that judgment bar. And hear, "Well done, O good and faithful servant." First Peter, 3:8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So we need not do evil. I'd like to close this morning with a poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's entitled, "Tomorrow I'll Think About God." Not today when I am busy, not today when there's so much to do, not today while I'm young and eager, and life is far-reaching and new, but tomorrow when I am older, and the tempo of life is less, I'll have more time for praying and meditating, I guess. But time is swift in its passing, and before we are really aware, we find ourselves growing older and daily in needs of God's care. And while God is always ready to help us and lead us along, because we have tarried and wasted our young days in dancing and song, we find we are not well acquainted with the wonderful love of the Lord, and we feel very strange in his presence and unworthy of our Father's reward. For only the children who seek him with hearts still untouched and still clean can ever experience his greatness and know what his love can mean. So waste not the hours of life's morning. Get acquainted with God when you're born. And when you come to life's evening, it will shine like the glory of morn. The first verse of Psalm 32 says, "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven and who have no sins to be covered." Thank you very much for your time.